Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are going to be covering the second half of this chapter this morning, starting at chapter 12, verse 12. I was thinking this morning and actually talking with Sophia a little bit. I think there was a problem in the church of Corinth that we're going to be looking at. They were favoring certain spiritual gifts and making them most important. And I think in the church, the Christian church in general, we've seen a lot of division in the church. I was thinking about, you have different churches and different denominations even that focus on different things. Like you have kind of the charismatics, you have the those who are maybe known for community service, you have those that are known for maybe deep theology. And it seems like Christians tend to kind of pool together in different church groups and focus on these things. And I wonder if the problem that the Corinthians were going through over time didn't lead to some of this division and grouping together of like mind or like gifted people. And the reality is that, boy, we really all need each other and none is most important. That's kind of what we're going to be diving into. And this is very applicable to just a local church like our church as well, and the different gifts that we have, a variety of different gifts. So anyways, I just have a lot of thoughts. I want to start out by talking about several years ago, I don't know how many years ago, well, several years ago, I would go out on these kind of outings with a group of guys, kind of a guy's night out. We would go to, I think when the newer Star Wars movies started coming out, I got together with a group of guys. Most of the guys worked together, and I was friends with some of them, and so got invited to go with. We would go to Famous Dave's and eat some great meat, and then we would go to the movie, and it was just a great guys' night out. On the drive back home, then the conversation revolved mostly around the movie that we just watched, and it became apparent to me very quickly that I was way out of my league when it came to movies and movie trivia and all the details involved in movies. They were talking about all kinds of things. So the actors, I'm like, I don't even know the names of the characters, much less the actors most of the time. The directors, you know, favorite scenes and intricate details of the scenes. I'm like, I didn't pay attention to any of that. Background information to the movie. They knew all this trivia, previous episodes when you are dealing with Star Wars, all kinds of details related to these movies that they're talking about. And they talked about it pretty much the whole ride home. And my head was just spinning. It's like, what in the world? I had nothing to contribute. Like literally, like my contribution to a movie is, yeah, I kind of liked it. Or, no, it wasn't that great. Okay. I don't know how they could remember all those details. And so it became apparent to me that movies were apparently more important to them than they were to me. I don't have like favorite scenes generally. I don't pay attention to all those details. I just watch the movie and I either like it or I don't like it. And so I think we did two or three of those movie nights, and by the end of each outing, I was feeling like a failure when it came to watching movies. You know, how could I be so ignorant about movies? Is something wrong with me? Every time I left that evening feeling like I have got to like do my homework. Like I've got to start watching more movies and make this a higher priority in my life, because movies were so important to them and the group that I was with. I felt like they should be more important to me as well. Now, sometimes I think we can feel that way about ministry in the church. So I want to share some of the reasons I think that. So I used to listen to a lot of different sermons by different preachers, and I noticed by the end of a lot of those sermons, I was feeling a lot like I did in the car when I was riding home with the guys who were talking about the movies. I was feeling like a failure because the area of ministry that they were talking about, that they were so passionate about and saying was so important, that it was important to them and it should also be important to me, that it was clearly more important to them than it was to me, and I was feeling like a failure. And it could have been, maybe they were preaching about prayer, maybe they were preaching about missions or evangelism or serving. And a lot of times I was left with this feeling that I was a failure because I wasn't as passionate about what they were talking about as they were. And I don't know, I'm guessing you probably felt that way. Maybe you've felt that way as I've been preaching at times. The problem was that every preacher, every sermon that I listened to, like there's this passionate plea, but it was a passionate plea about a different thing. And so every time I'm listening to one of these sermons, there's a different area of ministry that I'm supposed to be super passionate about, as passionate as they are. And it's like, my goodness, I can't be passionate. I can't think all of these things are important. Like, it's just overwhelming to me. And it made me feel like failure. Like, if in order to be a good Christian, you have to be passionate about that thing and that thing and that thing and that thing and that thing, then I'm a failure. And I'm a failure especially as a pastor if I'm not passionate about all these things. Okay? So I felt like that listening to different sermons. I've also felt like that just in church or in churches as well. So some Christians, you probably know, get super excited about certain areas of ministry, and people can devote all kinds of times. Even if they're not paid staff, volunteers can devote all kinds of time and money and resources and energy on certain areas of ministry, and they can often then get frustrated when other Christians aren't as excited as they are about that area of ministry. And I've often wondered, too, in those situations, is something wrong with me if the ministries that are really important to them just aren't as important to me? But there again, I find that it's different people in the church who are super excited about a certain areas of ministry and different areas of ministry, okay? And I see that same type of dynamic. Now, in the church in Corinth, there was one area of ministry we talked about last week and one spiritual gift that was more important to a lot of people, and so it was being elevated in that church as more important than anything else, and that was speaking in tongues. And we'll see that as the weeks go on here, looking at these chapters. It's chapters 12, 13, and 14. Because, and I shared this last week, because of their background in pagan, their cultural background in pagan idolatry, they were especially drawn to unusual behaviors, thinking that it was those kinds of things, the strange behaviors and utterances that people did, that meant they were more connected with the divine, with a god or goddess, that they were more spiritual. And that was their background. And because of that, then the people in the church, when they became Christians, they thought those more unusual behaviors meant that people that had them were more connected with God and more spiritual, had more of the Holy Spirit in them. And so when the Christians in the church in Corinth demonstrated the ability, especially to speak in unknown languages, that then became very important. That was a sign of spirituality. And it was the spiritual gift and area of ministry that became the most sought after in the church. But the problem was that not everyone had that gift. And as you read what Paul wrote, it seems like the people who didn't have that gift were then probably left feeling like a failure. Like their spiritual gift and their area of ministry, what was important to them, didn't matter. And so people who had different gifts were checking out of ministry, while speaking in tongues then became more and more prominent, more and more important. And so some of the questions I want for us to think about as we dive into the text this morning are there certain areas of ministry that are more important than the rest? Okay, think about you. Is the area of ministry that you are most passionate about what everyone else should be passionate about? If your spiritual gift and area of ministry that you care most about doesn't seem as important to others in the church, should you try to change and become like them and what seems to be more important? I want us to see how Paul responded to the situation in Corinth so that we can really come away with a biblical understanding of how the church is supposed to work when it comes to spiritual gifts and different ministries that we are involved in. And so last week we saw how Paul wrote about how there aren't just a few spiritual people, there aren't just a few gifts that are spiritual. There's a variety of gifts that the Holy Spirit has given, and he's given those gifts to everyone. And so every person that is born of the Spirit is spiritual. Every gift, every ministry is a spiritual gift and spiritual ministry. That's what we saw last week. This week, he gives us one of the most helpful metaphors that I'm sure all of us are familiar with. One of the most helpful metaphors in the whole Bible when it comes to understanding us as a church family, how the church family is supposed to work. So if you're not there, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to work through this in different sections. The first section is verses 12 and 13. Let's read those verses together. Here's what Paul says. For just as the body is one and has many members, so he's talking about the human body right now, just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And so when it comes to the church family, when it came to the local church family, the way that Paul says that we should think about ourselves is like a human body. And the major ideas you can see that he brings up here are that are in the human body are that there's one body, but there are many members, okay? There's many parts to that body. One body, many members, and he says that in one Spirit, the Corinthian believers were all baptized into one body, okay? So there again, when it comes to Christ, he says Christ is like that, where there's many members, many different parts, people with different roles, but there's one body, and it's the body of Christ, because each of us has the same Spirit that is filling each of us. We were baptized into one body, immersed into one body, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And so he's introducing these ideas that when it comes to the local church family, there is unity, but there's also diversity. Okay, unity and diversity, not unity and uniformity, unity and diversity, oneness and variety. Many members joined together in one body. And so obviously when you think about the human body, you think of all these different parts, and he's going to start to get into those. You think about the feet, the hands, the head, the eyes, the ears, the nose, fingers, toes, everything else. These are all the different parts with different functions, but none of them exist or function on their own. They're all interconnected. They're all united into one body, connected in the same body. And yet, I think we naturally, and what he goes into next, is that we naturally, even about our human bodies, we think that there's certain parts that are more important than others, like probably hands is one he brings up with. Eyes, we typically think, man, eyes are super important. Hands are very important and maybe important than the rest. And that's the way we can think about the church as well. But Paul now uses this metaphor to point out that's not the right way to think. So let's look at verses 14 through 20. Here's what he says. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, like an eye or an ear, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And so based on the surrounding context of what was going on in that church and what he writes about later, Paul likely has in mind here is that there were people in that church in particular who felt they were unimportant because they didn't have the gift of tongues or maybe another gift that was manifested with more unusual behavior. We saw he listed about 9 gifts last week, and several of those had more unusual behavior. Several had more usual behavior. And because we know what was going on in that church, there were some who were feeling unimportant. The church was favoring the gifts that seemed more unusual because of their cultural setting, and they were focusing so much on them that people who didn't have them then felt like a failure. So I picture myself in the car ride after the movie feeling like a failure because what everybody else is talking about, I'm just not that interested in. That's what was going on, I think, in this church. Everybody's talking about this. Everybody's trying to do this thing. And, well, it's not that important to me, or I don't have that gift, or I'm not interested in that area of ministry, and so I guess mine is worthless. Paul likens them to a foot that your foot sees what the hand is doing and thinks, because I'm not like that, I'm a failure. I'm unimportant. Or an ear that looks at the eye and thinks the same way. And Paul says that kind of thinking is just totally wrong. The foot and the ear are just as important as the hand and the eye. Just because the hand has an important role, and it's not to diminish the importance of the hand in the body, doesn't mean the hand is most important and should be elevated above the rest. The hand isn't going to walk the body where it needs to go. The foot has to do that. You need the foot, the feet. And just because the eyes can illuminate the world to the rest of the body doesn't elevate it above all the rest. The eye will never be able to hear what someone is saying to them or allow the body to enjoy music. Okay? The foot needs to do what the foot was made to do. As does the hand, as does the eye, as does the ear and the nose and every part in the human body, because it's not just about the part, it's about the function of the whole body. Every part is important. None are dispensable. And Paul says that God made the body, and he's still talking about the human body, though obviously the implications go into the local body of Christ. But he's saying none are dispensable, and God made it that way on purpose, and he put all the parts together to do what he wanted each part to do. That's what makes it a body. And so for the Corinthians, he is, of course, implying, don't think that speaking in tongues or any other gift or area of ministry is the only important area, and that yours doesn't matter. The foot shouldn't say to the hand, you don't need me. If you think that way, the body's going to be severely messed up. And he gives kind of a comical picture. If every part was an eye, where would the body be? You know, you get this grotesque big eye, right? No, I mean, it's just going to be messed up. All right, so I've been watching a lot of football lately. You've got the NFL going on. I don't really watch college football, but then we've got JV, high school, Matthews in football. I'm watching a lot of football lately. I've been thinking about how well this relates. So who's the most important member of the football team? Okay, a lot of people are going to go, well, the quarterback or the running back. And everybody wants to be the quarterback or the running back because we think of them as most important. I wanted to be the running back in high school. Like, I really wanted to be the running back. But you know where they put me? Offensive line. All right? I was a guard. The coaches looked at each position, and they knew each player. They looked at each player, and when they looked at the big picture, each athlete in each position, and what they needed for the whole team to function the most effectively, they chose the best spot for each person to go, and for me, it was offensive guard. And I had a blast. It was great. I got to just run and hit people. Okay? That part was very important for the team. Because you know what? The only way that the quarterback and the running back are going to be able to do anything is if you have linemen who are doing their job. Everyone has to do their job for the team to be successful. Every part is important. And so if you're a foot, be the best foot that you can be. God's gifted you to flourish as a foot. You don't need to be like the hand. If you're an ear, be the best ear that you can be. If you're a lineman, be the best lineman you can be. Whatever gift and ministry God has given you to help the church, to help East Lincoln, whatever your role is, it's important. Excel in using that gift and don't feel bad or like a failure. Don't feel like you have to become like this other person or like don't feel bad if you're not like somebody else. Excel where God has gifted you, where he has put the passion in your heart. That's where he wants you to plug in, all right? So that's how you need to think if you feel like your part doesn't matter in the church. But there's the other side of this. What about those who feel like their role is super important? They are gifted. They have that area of ministry. They think it's super important and more important than the rest, and everybody should try to become like him. And if you can't be like me, then that's your thing really isn't that important. What about that? Paul writes about that next. So verses 21 through 26, here's what he says. The eye cannot say to the hand, okay, so the eye, super important. Well, the hand was too, but anyways, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And again, he's talking about the human body, but many implications for the church family. If one member suffers, all suffer together, stubbing your toe, okay? If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And so there isn't one gift or one area of ministry that is so important that the rest don't really matter or aren't needed. And Paul says that if you look at the human body, you can see that the parts that we think are weaker or less honorable or unpresentable are actually parts that God has made indispensable, bestowed with greater honor, and treated with greater modesty to show that every part is important to the body as a whole. Every part is needed, and every part is needed to do its part and not try to become like another one. God designed the body to work like that, so that what he says in the text here is that there wouldn't be division and that every part would work for the good of the whole. And division is exactly what was happening in the church in Corinth, and division has been what's been happening in the greater Christian church, which is why I brought up earlier, I think part of the reason we get into these different camps or groups or denominations or streams is because we make certain things more important than all the rest, and we bunch together when in reality, if we're going to work best together, we've got to all stay together. So God designed the body, the human body, so there wouldn't be division, and that every part then would work for the good of the whole. Leon Morris, I've been quoting him in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, says, in his perfect blending of the parts in the human body, God provided against dissension. In the body, all the members, without distinction, work for the good of the whole. No special care is lavished on one member to the detriment of other members. That's how your body works. That's how God designed it. Paul adds in the text that there's such harmony in the human body that when one part suffers and you stub your toe, the whole body is in agony. And when one part rejoices, the whole body rejoices. Again, there's implications here. And so in the Corinthian church, then Paul was implying that those with the gift of tongues are important, but they shouldn't have the attitude that they're most important and that others aren't needed. Every gift is needed for the church to function as it should. Okay, the body won't do well without the hands or the feet. The football team won't do well without the linemen or the backs or the receivers. And the church won't do well without each person doing their part. And now Paul finishes by applying this metaphor directly to them. So he's really been talking about the human body the whole time with all the implications. Now he just gets right to it. And he says, now, in verses 27 through 31, now you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, church. And individually, members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, you know, and you could, if he's using the body, he's like, are all eyes? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, 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 obviously, okay? No, we're not all the same. And then he goes, verse 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. We're going to get into that in 2 weeks, because next week the missionary is going to be speaking, but we'll talk about what Paul says is more excellent than any of the giftings and ministries, something that we can have uniformity and not just unity, is what he talks about in chapter 13, okay? But we're not there yet. So the connections are very clear. The church, we, East Lincoln, or the church in Corinth, is the body of Christ, and each person has a part. So there is unity as one body, but there is diversity. There is not uniformity. God created the church to function well with great diversity, and he assigned to each his or her gift and ministry. So not everyone is going to be alike. Not everyone is going to think what you think is important is as important as you think it is. Okay? God, and that's good. Not everyone's going to be alike. God made us different so that we would need each other, so that we would depend on each other, so that we could encourage one another, so that where I'm weak, you're strong, where I'm strong, you're weak, and we can all do our part to strengthen the whole. So this passage was very important for the Corinthian church because of what was going on in that local church. It's very important to us as well. It's very important that we function well as a church. Like, God wants us to function well. He wants us to carry out the mission that Christ has given us in this world. He wants us to do it well. But we're not going to do that if we focus all of our attention on one area of giftedness or ministry that's really important to some people. That would be the direct application. Each one of us has been gifted by God and has an important area of ministry. You have been gifted by God. You have an important area of ministry. And if we're going to be a strong and healthy church and do what God has called us to do, each of us needs to do what he has called us to do and gifted us to do. None of us are more important than the rest, and none of us are expendable. And so if you've been discouraged, maybe you've felt like your role, your giftedness, your area where you could do ministry, maybe you feel like it's just not that important, and so you haven't been involved. Like, hopefully this passage will, like, take heart. Take heart. You probably feel the way that you feel because God made you different, and he wants you to engage in a different area of ministry. And so if you look at certain ministry and you feel unimportant and like a failure, it's like, wait a minute, God made you different, and he's got you, he wants you to fit into a different area of ministry where you're going to thrive, and you're going to enjoy, and you're going to do great in. None of us is more important than the rest. Get in the game. Okay, get in the game. Find where God has gifted you and what he's put on your heart, and get in the game. Pursue the ministry that you're gifted in and that's important to you. And there are all kinds of opportunities that we have at East Lincoln for you to get involved in ministry. And when you do, you will find, like, when you get the right fit, you will find joy. That's what ministry should be like. It's not like it's always easy, but there's a joy, there's a fulfillment when you plug in where you're gifted and where God's called you. And if you've been frustrated because not everyone in the church feels as passionate as you do about a certain area of ministry, I hope that you can see why that's the case and begin to think differently. Okay, it's great for you to feel excited about that area of ministry, but don't expect everyone else in the church to be as well, because we can all be excited about Jesus, okay? We're not talking about pursuing Jesus. We're talking about areas of ministry and giftedness, okay? And so, yes, all get excited about Jesus, but when it comes to different areas of ministry, don't expect everyone else to be the same as you. Some will get excited about what you're excited about, and you can do ministry together, but others won't, because God's given us great diversity, and he has gifted us exactly how he wanted, and the way that you're gifted affects what you value most, probably, in ministry. And so we need to grow to appreciate the diversity that God has built into the body of Christ instead of just thinking that people should be more like us and think what is important to me should be important to everybody, okay? I think those are the ways that God would want us to apply this passage in our church family and to our individual lives. So let's pray and just devote ourselves to the Lord. Father, as we move now into a time of worship, I pray that you'd help us reflect on this passage. And I mean, this is a familiar metaphor and passage for all of us, but maybe today there's a particular part in it, or we see it in a new light. I pray, I guess most of all, that you would help us to see how East Lincoln Alliance Church is supposed to function as a whole, and how each of our parts is supposed to function within that. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have clarity in what our gift is, what our gifts are, what our role is in ministry, and help us to get plugged into joyful ministry in the church so that we can together be building one another up. In Jesus' name, amen. I will remind you just quickly that there is a spiritual gifts test in the bookstore, which is in the front lobby, that can be very helpful to help you kind of get on your way to discovering how God has gifted you. Thank you.